And in what follows, I'm encouraging us to consider that it may be helpful to think of this challenge before us of global social transformation in terms of this word, composition, on a world scale. Vasily Kandinsky once said, "I was inwardly moved by the word composition, and later made it my aim in life to paint a composition. This word itself affected me like a prayer. It filled me with reverence." Unquote. What does our collective longing look like, mean in Earth speak, if not composition, a bonding together of elements formerly kept, in our case, artificially separate, elements which, while called in our case by the system economic, that is us and our energy and our creative force, when unified by us into a single frame, means the soul's development, a collective expansion of our possibilities due to the growth of our common soul. In what follows, we listen in as Antonio Gramsci, imprisoned, essentially tortured, devotes his life to doing the necessary analysis, necessary to designing strategies that could successfully usher in a global social transformation in which the people rise to claim ownership of our own lives. He is pondering in this section whether the expansion of the soul of the people, given the name by power revolution, can roll like a wave across a continent in the manner of the French Revolution in 1789, except by means of reform rather than violent overthrow of an existing order. These are notes. This is him thinking it through. Have we an opinion on this? Quote from Antonio Gramsci. Historical relationship between the modern French state created by the revolution and the other modern states of continental Europe. The comparison is vitally important, provided that it's not made on the basis of abstract sociological schemas. It should be based on the study of four elements. One, revolutionary explosion in France with radical and violent transformation of social and political relations. Two, European opposition to the French Revolution and to any extension of it along class lines. Three, war between France under the Republic and Napoleon and the rest of Europe, initially in order to avoid being stifled at birth and subsequently with the aim creation of a universal empire. Four, national revolts against French hegemony and birth of the modern European states by successive small waves of reform rather than by revolutionary explosions like the original French one. And my interjection, let's pause for a minute and recall how Karl Popper in The Open Society and Its Enemies described this process. Quote from Karl Popper, "In spite of its inherent reactionary and irrational tendencies, modern nationalism, strangely enough, was in its short history before Hegel, a revolutionary and liberal creed." And he's, quote, my interjection, he's saying before Hegel because Hegel was brought in to transform it into a authoritarian thing. Continuing my interjection here. That it has this potential to be a tribalism based in love, mutual aid, and respect for all peoples explains why power is eager to replace the notion nation with region, a cell in the panopticon. And I use that word a lot, and I as I said in another show, that a lot of the language, new language that I bring in is intended to be part of a new conception of the world we want. That is, we have to have our own language. And panopticon is the word that is used to mean the design by which we are managed globally. In earlier shows on Jeremy Bentham, who coined the word and in fact used it to mean a design of a prison in which the inmates could not see each other, but the director at the top, it's pyramidal in shape, could survey all below, could see us, but we could not see each other. And I've been arguing that the panopticon is, in fact, the design by which our world is structured. I mean, it's obviously hierarchical, this global class system, but it is beyond just hierarchical. What's, I guess you could say, innovative about the panopticon was the fact that we are atomized within it, kept from seeing each other, knowing each other, talking to each other. It is, I suppose, for power, the ultimate design for silencing we the people. Bentham was obsessed with proving that a tiny, tiny, minuscule few could indeed control the vast, vast majority. And so with his plan and their vision in hand, they have so far proven him right. We have 10,000 guys running the lives of 7 billion, and this is so wrong. We have no concept of it, no way to describe it, but the realization of this untenable situation in its full significance is growing, is sinking in. We are beginning now to reclaim our world consciously. And that's the first step to reclaiming it physically, materially, with each other. All right, long interjection. Continuing.